This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, quick question. How is your social battery doing right now? I'll be honest, mine is a bit on the low side. Maybe it's not setting enough boundaries or just a typical slowdown after our super hectic work schedule. It's so easy to overlook our social needs or overextend ourselves, isn't it? What's your ideal balance of socializing? And how do you recharge? Whether you find energy in crowds or need more time to yourself, understanding your social needs is crucial. I remember a time when I struggled to balance my social engagement with my personal downtime. Y'all know us, we're always outside. So what really helped me was learning to recognize my limits and prioritizing my well-being. I've heard plenty of my peers champion therapy as a great tool for gaining this kind of insight. It's not just for big life issues. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life by equipping you with the skills to manage your social energy effectively. So if you're considering therapy, why not check out BetterHelp? It's an entirely online service, making it incredibly convenient and adaptable to your lifestyle. Just start with a quick questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists for any reason, you can do so at any time without any extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now. Earners, what's going on? Look, today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Acorns. You know, investing can often feel intimidating and many people don't know where to start. Some think you need a lot of money to begin or that it's something you can put off because it doesn't seem urgent. Plus, with our busy lives, who has time to manage and research investments? That's where Acorns comes in. Acorns make it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. Personally, I found Acorns to be a game changer. It's really helped me get into the habit of investing without even thinking about it. Every time I make a purchase, a little bit of my spare change gets invested, and over time, those small actions have started to make a big difference. From Acorns, mighty oaks do grow, right? It's all about giving your money a chance to grow with Acorns. So if you want to start saving and investing for your future, head to acorns.com/earn. That's acorns.com/EARN or download the Acorns app today. And who would I be without giving you an important disclaimer? Client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/earn.
So do you believe cloud seeding is the cause of violent storms that we're seeing in Houston, Dallas, Dubai? And what is cloud seeding for people that might not be fully familiar with
cloud seeding is when they take business class planes into the atmosphere and release certain gases and chemicals into the clouds to make it rain more. This is very like the open secret in Dubai because it doesn't rain that much in the desert. But them Ferraris and Porsches and Rolls Royces were swimming in Olympic-sized pools throughout the streets a couple months ago. And then Houston had a bunch of storms and Dallas is going through one now. And I think when you start to play with nature and play with God, we've seen this with Monsanto and genetically modified foods. And it's part of the reason why we have sickness running rampant in the United States of America. Opposed, if you come to Vietnam or Bali or Bahamas or Mexico or London, the food quality is better. Like the dog food quality is better than the processed food in the United States. So there've been a lot more storms. And I think as a result, we're seeing these storms kick up and be a lot more violent. I know a lot of times we talk about climate change, but sometimes there's some intentionality behind some of this stuff. And this isn't like something I read on Infowars.com and Alex Jones and shit. Like, this is mainstream news about cloud seeding. So maybe we can insert a clip and play a clip about it.
We're here in Utah, where they have been running cloud seeding programs. There are 42 cloud seeding programs across the American West. Many of them have aerial parts where they take airplanes like this with flares attached. Inside these flares, silver iodide, a microscopic particle that acts like a magnet for water. So they shoot those microscopic particles into a storm that's already going to produce snow. and just enhance that snow. By the end of the season, in a good program, we're told you can make 3 to 15% more snowpack. Cloud seeding's been around since the 1940s and 50s, but what has really advanced is the number of ground seeding projects. So this little shack on wheels has a pipe and a propane attached. During a storm, they can remotely set that off. It sends up silver iodide, little microscopic particles, into the storm. Gets sucked up into the cloud, makes it snow more. Like a little snow boost, and this is the thing that makes it happen. So this is a ground cloud seeder.
But people need to stop trying to mess with these weather patterns, because it does end up having a butterfly-like effect later down the line.
So, but how do you feel about just climate change in general?
I think, of course, we've done tremendous damage to the planet. We're paying for it. Like, now even some places in where this colder climates are becoming warmer, polar caps are starting to melt. Like, it's a serious issue. It's a serious issue, 1,000%. But I mean, they knew that 1,000 years ago. Like, the oil companies knew it. They just didn't care.
It's one of these things that you see firsthand. I know people are like, well, the climate has always changed throughout world time. We had the Ice Age. That's obviously climate change. So, yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. And I'm not saying what the cause of climate change is. But it's undeniable that the earth is getting hotter.
Absolutely.
That's undeniable, right?
Like, you take New York. I've never, well, you've been there your whole life, but I've never seen it rain this much in New York over the last year. I've been scared going to New York now. Like, man, if I get rained in, I'm stuck for 5 days.
The whole winter, fall. I mean, we getting good weather now, thank God.
Yeah. But
for like 4 or 5 months, it was rain. You know, we never had hurricanes. Now we've had hurricanes before. Absolutely. We used to have, like, you know, really bad rainstorms, maybe once every 5 years, like torrential. Now it happens once every 6 months.
Yeah.
Even like, you know, housing, you gotta flood-proof your house and do different things. Like, these are things, it's much warmer. It doesn't really snow as much as it used to. It probably snows like one time a year. It used to have blizzards.
Absolutely.
Heavy snowstorms. Doesn't really snow that much. Very mild, mint winters.
Same
winter
as Chicago.
Winter and fall is like the same thing. There's really no real winter. Mm-hmm. No, it's getting warmer. I mean, I went to Puerto Rico, and we was actually looking at the ocean, and they were showing us, like, they was like, that's where Pirates of the Caribbean got filmed. And I'm like, where? They were like, where you looking at right now? That used to be an island. And that was only like probably 15 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, they're like, yeah, well, now it's covered with water, so you can't see it. But that used to actually be an island, and they filmed the movie there. So, yeah, as far as if you believe in, as far as the political aspect of it, like, that's not, I don't care about your thoughts on this, to be honest with you, but it's not debatable. It's not debatable that the earth is getting warmer, right? And there's effects of the earth getting warmer. I mean, you see it. And a lot of these coastal properties,
California is in shambles. You can't even get insurance. You got to be rich to have insurance on your house in California now.
This is a financial topic, right? Because it's like, okay, you know, everybody wants to live in Miami. But you're gonna have problems with these oceanfront properties and these waterfront properties. I mean, it's going to happen at some point in time. It's just a matter of when. But yeah. I was talking to realtors, and they're like, "Yo, so many people, they got so much money right now in Miami, they don't even care. They're like, I worry about 20 years, 30. That's not really my top
concern. Doesn't matter.
Like, I could ball now. That's the only thing I'm worried about. And if that's what you, you know, hey, fine, go ahead. But at the very least, you should know. But that's also why, when you look at a city like Miami, like Overtown and Little Haiti, these areas are becoming more desirable, because they're actually, when you look at the flood, I've actually looked at flood maps of Miami, and I've looked at global warming maps of Miami. And there's only a few highlands places in Miami, Little Haiti. These are places that are actually the most safe.
Safest zones. Yep.
They're the safest zones. Right. So it's no surprise that you see gentrification, you see it start changing, different things of nature, because literally what originally be thought as the most undesirable part. Because if you go to Miami, who's like, who wants to live inland, right? Everybody wants to live by the water. But yeah. Then when you really start to look at, okay, not only just from a global warming and you might not have anywhere to live, but just from a regular flood standpoint, right? Like Brickell gets flooded all the time.
All the time now.
Yep. So it's like, all right, you know, when you look at it from that standpoint and it's like, okay, now what area is flood proof? Now the areas that were once the least desirable are starting to become the most desirable.
Yeah.
Right. So now you start to see the whole transition play as far as real estate. Now you start to see gentrification. Now you start to see people move in, home prices go up, new businesses, different things. It's never by accident. It's same thing happens in Brazil. I was actually studying this in Brazil. You know, they put the favelas, which favelas is the slums in Brazil, and they put them in the hills, right? Because it's like, okay, who really wants to live in the mountains, right? And yeah. Everybody wants to live in the beach. But then they realize that some of those favelas have some of the best views of like Christ the Redeemer and the beach and all of that. Yeah. So once again, now you start the gentrification to move people out, relocation of people like 5 hours outside of Rio, different things that they should, because they realize, okay, now we made a mistake. This is actually prime real estate. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Even if you look at New York, like you look at like Queensbridge, right? Queensbridge is in Long Island City, which is right on the water of Queens. It overlooks Manhattan. Previously, that was a bad neighborhood. Now Long Island City is like one of the nicest neighborhoods in New York. Yeah. You can't even go, like every restaurants, hookah lounges, hotels, everything. Like, and all they did was just build around the projects, because you really can't. It's be tremendously hard to knock down 96 buildings. Well, I saw large Queensbridge projects as 96 buildings. It's kind of hard to knock down 96 buildings, right? So what they did was they just kind of made it an oasis, and all around now you wouldn't even really realize that there was a project there unless you actually went looking for it, right? Like just driving, the buildings that they're building are higher than the project buildings, so you really can't even, you wouldn't even tell. And then it's like, you know, they it's very secure now, a bunch of cops everywhere, they got the sensory thing, so there's really, it's not a lot of violence, anything like that. And now you're just able to just, you know, keep people in that one area pocket,
self-contained.
Yeah. But now everything around that is extremely high priced real estate, right? Because that's actually prime time real estate. So appreciate what you have when you have it, because sometimes you don't even realize that what you think is the worst area is actually the best area.
Could be. Yep. And right. You know who doesn't think this is a conspiracy? Bill Gates. If you go look at all that farmland that he's bought, they're all in the zones that won't flood in the middle of America. Whenever someone of that, you can, regardless if you think he's evil or not, one of the wealthiest men of all time, when he buys up that much land, I think the number one land buyer by one person in the United States, there's a pattern. You guys go on Google Maps and look at it, or Google Earth. They're all in non-flood zones. So if a crisis breaks out and the coasts go through trouble, you'll have enough land to rent you and sell you genetically modified mosquitoes or whatever else we're going to eat if we go through the Hunger Games. You got to look at what the elite are doing to be able to plan properly.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Yeah. Bill Gates owns the most real estate in America.
Insane. Dr. William H. I don't want no smoke. There's some people I don't want drama with. The Clintons, William H., Hove, who else? Buffett. Oh, God.
But like you said, I mean, it's interesting, right? His real estate, he didn't like, his play wasn't to try to buy Manhattan or buy all of Hollywood. He's buying places that nobody would even care about.
Yeah, and it flies under the radar. And so are the Chinese. They bought up a bunch of quote-unquote undesirable areas. Quietly in tandem with William.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.